Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country. Waiting here for you.
Welcome to In the Country, an Artist Insights exclusive production, bringing you up close and personal interviews with your favorite country music stars. Now here's the host of In the Country, Dave Wood.
Welcome to this Wednesday, September the 9th edition of In the Country. I'm your host, Dave Woods. Our mission is to bring you up close and personal interviews with your favorite country stars. Well, he came on the scene in a big way with his first album in 1997, What My Heart Already Knows, and that featured the first single, Little Old Kisses, which went to the top of the country charts. That year, he also won the Wrangler Rising Star Award at the CCMAs. The hits kept on coming. Eventually, he released The Red and White to pay tribute to Canadian troops, and now he is releasing his latest CD entitled One for One, which features five original songs and five popular classics from a variety of artists, including Queen, Elvis, and Kenny Rogers. It's my pleasure to welcome Julian Austin to the show. Hey, Julian.
Hey, Dave. How's it going, bud?
It is going awesome. Nice to have you on the show.
Well, no, great to be on your show. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I've been a fan since the first song came out. I remember the song in the video, Little Old Kisses, hitting. Was that a big surprise for you when it came out and the impact it had on your career?
Yeah, for sure. That was on the Michelle Wright tour in 1997, and we did 43 shows in 47 days.
Wow.
Yeah, starting in the spring. So yeah, I remember being in Calgary, Alberta, doing our show, and the song by that time, it was on the top five. You know, it was really up there and still climbing. And I was really blown away that when we came out and sang the song, and it was cool to see it from when we started, you know, to see how the song was received by the time we were almost done our tour across, you know, one side of the country to the other. So it was great. And that's when it was all new, man. And it's still fun to sing that song live every night to the fans, for sure.
Isn't that great that the song is still obviously held up and the fans still love it as much? Now, your latest album and we'll talk about that, is One for One, which is a really cool concept. Five original songs, and then you picked five very different and interesting classics to cover. Can you tell us sort of about how you chose the cover songs?
Yeah, you know, I've always wanted to do that. I mean, even on my first album, I did a remake of, Two Out of Three by, Jim Steinman and Meatloaf.
Yep.
And then the second album, of course, Take the Money and Run. And it just, you know, me being a rocker to begin with, I mean, I cut my teeth on rock and pop and heavy metal music. You know, I still have a great passion for all that music. And, it was just on this album, I really wanted to do something different and do a few more originals. A few more cover songs on one album. And then, you know, the same equal amount of originals. So hence the title One for One. So you get one original for one remake. And, of course, Queen definitely had to be up. That was at the top of my list. And, Elvis, I mean, I was a huge Elvis fan when I was a kid. I still am, a big, huge fan of Elvis. Who isn't? Islands in the Stream was my only one that I didn't really pick. It was my buddy and my producer, Daniel LeBlanc, picked for me to do with Melanie Doan, and we kind of just turned it around, did it our way, and I put my own spin on all the remakes, I hope.
Yeah, exactly. They're all sort of got your own signature on them, and Islands in the Stream, when I was listening to it, it definitely is different from the Kenny and Dolly version. It's got just a different feel to it, and great vocals, of course, from you and Melanie.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, we're going to get to playing a couple of songs from the new CD, If Houston Doesn't Want You, as well as the Queen classic, Fat Bottom Girls. So if we just go back to that, the earlier time, and who are some of your influences? You mentioned some rock and heavy metal, and that growing up, who were some of the influences? And then when you got into country, who were some of those?
My everything for me, and like I said, in rock and that, I went back to the classic rock days to, anywhere from Brian Adams, Rick Springfield, to Ozzy, to, George Jones and, Willie and Waylon when they used to team up together. To Ronnie Millsap. I mean, it just later on, and then I'd say by late 80s when I started hearing like Randy Travis and I was hearing Ricky Skaggs in the 80s, I was kind of going, wow, there's something really cool going on here. And then, of course, later on, it was, Tracy Lawrence, Mark Chestnut, Clint Black, Garth Brooks, Patti Loveless, Susie Vaugus. I mean, yeah. There was just Pam Tillis. I mean, there's just so many great artists, especially when they were calling it the new country in 1990 onward to 2000. And it just, that's when I really fell in love with country music. I heard Sticks and Stones, and Too Cold at Home, and Killing Time. Yeah. And I just went, wow, I want to be a part of this movement. So it wasn't a sellout thing for me because I still rock out all the time in my basement and I still rock out on stage. It was a change of heart, it was an additional passion to my, to what I love to do. And country music was just another part of what I love to do. And I just loved the way the music and the words told a story. It's just country. The simplicity of it was great. You listen to the song, you listen to the music, and you went, wow, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what draws me to country music. And then '80s were such a, as you mentioned, or the '90s too, getting into the '90s, such a big explosion in country music with the artists you mentioned. And I think that drew a lot of people in, maybe people who might have only been into rock and roll before. In the '90s, they could sort of relate to Garth Brooks and Tracy Lawrence, and there was something they could really draw out of it, as you found.
Oh, for sure, man. I mean, and there was a lot of great bands too. I mean, with Shenandoah and Boy Howdy and Diamond Rio. I mean, it was endless, endless, endless. Everybody seemed to have a really cool stamp, on their sound. As soon as you heard that individual or that band, you went, wow, that's so and so. And it was just, it was a great time. It was a great time to experiment with country music and to see it, evolve once again, as all music does,
For sure.
Every 10 years, it evolves again. So it was like, again, that was, for me, that was my best time in country music. I had very many fond memories.
I'll bet. And as you say, you got to tour with Michelle Wright. That must have been awesome to be on the road with her and play for the crowds that she would have drawn at the time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Michelle was my first. She was my first, major tour, and then from there, we had the chance to do a lot of stuff with, like Aaron Tippin and Sammy Kershaw, Brooks and Dunn, Lone Star, and Terry Clark, and Alabama on my birthday. So, I mean, there was a lot of great, artists that I've been very blessed to have toured with and opened. And George Jones, of course.
Oh, excellent! You got to meet him and perform with him.
I had a chance to sing Rockin' Chair with him. I do a version of He Stopped Lovin' Her today every night, and the people love it the way I do it. I really try to pay homage to Jones and that song because, for us to move forward, we have to remember the pioneers, and he's definitely one of the pioneers. And
definitely.
He's still out there doing it, man, and he's one of a kind.
Yep, I've got tickets for Casino Rama in October to see George.
Like you, man.
Yeah. He's still going.
He's got to be like 78, man. I mean, he's...
Yep.
He's up there, and I mean, that's not really old if you got your faculties and your health. But I mean, nevertheless, I mean, to be out there performing the songs, that man's had a hard, rough old road life, he's been through a lot. And like his book, I Live to Tell It All. It's a great book.
Oh yeah, great stories, and
yeah,
the songs of his are just amazing. So I'm a big fan too, and I'd love to hear your version of He Stopped Loving Her Today sometime because it's just such a great emotional song, and one of the classics.
Even the young kids, when we started off, they kind of go, But once, the ones that are diehards, but even, the older folks that grew up with Jones and that George. But it's when you get to that chorus, it's such an anthematic song, that chorus, everybody knows it. And it's cool that when you get to that part and you get the harmonies kicking in, then even the young kids go, oh, yeah, I know. You see them all singing it. So it's cool that, I love doing it every night in my show, and I'm going to continue to do it.
That's awesome. Now, is there anybody in country music that you haven't met yet that you would like to? Either you're a fan of theirs or you just followed them for a long time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tracy Lawrence, definitely. I mean, that's, Dwight Yoakam. I mean, Little Old Kisses, Baby Bye-Bye. There's some songs on every one of my albums that kind of have that Dwight Yoakam stamp on it. And there's some songs in the past and all my albums that has a hint of Tracy. I mean, I can't help it. It's just music I played so much in the bars, and I like their stuff. But I mean, there's a lot of, I wish I was around to meet Waylon, Johnny Cash. I mean, that would have been cool. And, Pam Tillis, I've always been a big fan of her stuff. And, there's just so many great artists out there still, today that are just, I met Brad Paisley years ago, as I was signed with BMG Canada, and of course him with US, that I was able to meet him and watch him show and watch him grow. And it's just, you know, I'd like to run into Brad again, because he's done so much since he first started, you know, his music. He's just a brilliant, brilliant writer, and I like the way he capitalizes on the comedy thing, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that new song he's got out speaks to all of us, you know.
Yeah, welcome to the future.
Race. Oh, man, I mean, it's such a positive and yet powerful song, and it says so much that, you know, like you know, I guess what Martin Luther King was saying back in the 60s, you know.
Yeah.
And if he could only be around to see it today, you know. And so it's great. It speaks for all of mankind and the better of mankind. And I love his stuff, man. He's great.
That's awesome. Now, on the subject of songwriting, how have you seen your songwriting grow over the years? And how early or how young were you when you wrote your first song?
I was always humming and humming into a tape recorder. And for those of you kids out there that don't know what a tape recorder is, well,
that's right.
Yeah, it was, you know, and that's what I did. And then, you know, maybe a year later, I asked Dad if I could use a guitar out of the closet, and this was an old Saturn. And he showed me my first chord and a couple chords, and then I just kind of, you know, took it from there. But, I mean, and been self-taught. But, I mean, yeah, about 13, you know, when I started writing, and, you know, 14 and a half when I picked up the guitar, and a little late, but I mean, nevertheless, I mean, I've been, you know, I don't know if my writing is really, I think it's evolved once I started writing country music. If I look back from my first real, like, independent album that makes a really great coaster for, you know, you know, to my first album with BMG till now. I mean, yeah, I have seen it evolve, but at the same time, when I stay true to myself, and I don't try to veer off and try to be somebody that I'm not. I mean, I have a sound, and, you know, I think when I stay true to myself, it just has my stamp on it, like a lot of artists, you know. And I just hope that I'm still writing music that people still want to hear. And by the, you know, and I get a lot of, we're getting a lot of great compliments and feedback from the fans from the new album. So that's wonderful, because there's so much competition out there. There's so many new artists every bloody day, you know, every single day. And that's a great thing, you know. The world needs more music. It's just, it gets harder and harder, you know, and I'm not the new kid on the block anymore by any means. I still got some legs under me, and I still want to keep putting out albums, and I hope that the fans and the people, even fans that, or people that haven't heard my music yet, will get a chance to hear it and like it, so.
Exactly, and that's what you've got the new CD for. And now, I guess if somebody's pitching songs to you, they've got, as you mentioned, a signature sound. It's got to have that Julian Austin either attitude or vibe to it, and that wouldn't every song wouldn't fit into that kind of mold.
No, I mean, you know, and there's so many great writers out there that are, you know, I wish they'd pitch me songs, because I never get them pitched to me, you know. But, I mean, I'm always open for you know, songwriters to send stuff to me, by all means, because, I mean, a great song is a great song, you know, and I'm just, you know, maybe I'll get something for the next album that some people will send to me as well. I mean, I certainly love writing and co-writing. That's a big love of mine as well, and
Is there a song out there? You covered five here. Is there a song out there that you're really looking forward to covering at some point that you could see maybe taking from another genre and making it a country standard, or at least a country hit?
Oh yeah, there's Dean Martin. I mean, I'm a big band fan too, right? But, you know,
right.
The Rat Pack.
Yeah.
You know, Dean Martin. I mean, I love Dean Martin. Gentle on My Mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know Glenn Campbell wrote it, and he did it years ago, but that's a great song. I mean, yeah, there's some other songs, you know, by Dean Martin that I'd like to take one of them and do. And as far as the rock, I mean, I'd like to do a Keep On Loving You by REO Speedwagon.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, there's some other songs that every time I hear it, I just go, oh, yeah, man, yes, for sure, man. I mean, even Don Henley stuff. I mean, there's...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I go back and listen to it, and I just, wow. Yeah, oh, yeah, there'll definitely be another remake, because now I have a total of 7 songs, Dave, that have been all remade. So now I need about 3 more, and I can just do one album of just nothing but remakes and put it out there, right? So
that would
why
be
not?
Good. Yeah.
You know what? I still play other people's stuff at my show, because I can't help it. It just, you know, not everybody knows my music, and for those that do know my music, I try to play as much as I can, but it's also about the show, and I like to go and take the show and keep elevating it, because at the end of it, it's practically just like it's a rock concert, right?
Yeah.
And that's for the live, and I love that the interaction with the fans, and they love it. And I love singing songs that every single one of us can sing along to and party to, and that to me is more important. So as long as I'm throwing in, you know, a lot of my music, you know, then I feel I'm not ripping anybody off. And then I get a chance to play some other music that we've all grown up with and that we all can relate to. And it's just fun stuff. So it's all for the show. And I mean, I do a 2-hour, 2.5-hour show straight through, right?
Wow. That's...
Yeah. So I give her, and I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun. So,
you must really have to pace yourself to make it that far.
Nope.
No.
Well, now that I'm training again, you know, and that's something
okay.
I haven't done for a long time. So I'm back in the gym as much as I possibly can be. I mean, I love it again. I missed it for 8 years. And, you know, I mean, I'm healthier. I'm just my whole mindset. So when I'm on stage now, I just give her best I can, you know, and it just keeps, you know, escalating. I mean, you know, we know it when we're done doing our shows, when we get the feedback from the fans. And if they love it, then they let us know. And if they don't like it, they'll let us know too. So I mean, they're the judge, jury, and executioners. You know, so it's all great, and we've been just having a blast, my band and I, and we love it, man. We love it.
That sounds great. Now I want to talk about a new song off of your CD, which I'm going to play in just a few moments. It's an original one called "If Houston Doesn't Want You." Now this is on your new CD, One for One. Can you tell us a bit about the song before I play it? Maybe the writers on it as well.
Yeah, I wrote it with fellow Canuck, Gil Grand, who's penned many, many, many songs up for, you know, of his own career, and he's down in Nashville now with his own business doing well. And, Gil's a great writer and great artist, and it was great to write the song with him. We wrote it in Calgary there a couple years ago, and it made it to the album, and I'm glad it did because we both had fun writing it. And, you know, a lot of people ask me why I use so many of the names from the States, you know, and it's just... You know, when I first grew up in country music, it was all, you know, the American artists. And you get used to it. And myself and a lot of my fellow Canadians will always say, yeah, but the States, they got really cool names, man, to throw into songs and and to write. And it's true. And there's some beautiful places. So, I mean, you know, Houston was, I've always wanted to visit Texas, you know, and I think with a last name such as Austin, I think maybe I'll have a chance to do that someday. So we picked Houston and Baton Rouge Lone Star State of Texas, and that's where she's all about. So,
it's a cool song. It sounds like a hit to me when I first listened to it. So I'm really anxious to share with our listeners now. This is Julian Austin with "If Houston Doesn't Want You" here on In the Country.
You just gotta do what you feel you gotta do. Maybe we can work things out down the road. God, I'm gonna miss you when you go. After everything we've been through, just remember this before you drive away. If things with you in Houston don't work out, you got a cowboy back at home. Overtime trying to keep you in Texas off my mind. But since you've been gone, it's plain to see. Without you, girl, I just ain't me. I'd give anything to turn back time. Back when you were here with me, just before you said goodbye, and I said, the things with you in Houston don't work out. You got this cowboy back at home. Work out. You got this cowboy back at home.
Julian Austin from his brand new CD, One for One, and If Houston Doesn't Want You, here on In the Country, and we're speaking with Julian. Now, Julian, around the time of your second album, just before it was released, the album called Back in Your Life, you had a pretty serious bull riding accident. Can you tell us about that and sort of how you got through it?
Stupidity, Dave.
Nothing
but total stupidity.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I always admired the athletes of the rodeo world, you know, and the rodeo folk. And
right.
I just, I was totally into bull riding at that time, you know, and the PBR and all that. And when I first started watching it, I was, like, very enthralled. And I was like, wow, you know, like, wouldn't mind trying a little bit of that. So when I came out to Alberta a lot, I get to know some of the cowboys and all that. And they got me on my first bull and out in Gurlitz's outside of Calgary. And Balzac, and I liked it. So then, you know, I was out in BC, I got on a couple, and then, of course, they did me in a little bit, and then just kept getting on more and more, and then I joined my buddy there, Kelly Armstrong, who's a Canadian bull riding champion. I joined his school outside of Calgary at a place called Olds, Alberta, which I used to go out there on Tuesday nights and try to buck out anyways, but I never recovered any bulls. But, I get out there and get on as many as they let me get on in the run of the night. And so later on that week, I joined the bull riding, Kelly Armstrong's bull riding school, and it was January 9th, 1999. I got on my bull after coming back from lunch, and I remember them calling. They used to call me Hollywood. So they said, Hollywood, you're up. So anyways, I get on the bull and come out of the chute, and anyways, I just went under him, and He wasn't a hunter or anything. He wasn't a bodacious or anything like that. Or, you know,
right.
But I mean, nevertheless, he was big enough to bust me up inside and puncture my lung and rip me open and all that and put me in the trauma unit. So
whoa.
I mean, it was kind of a scary deal. At the time when the bull's stomping on your chest and then your legs and whatever else, and I didn't get out of the way, so he used me as a doormat. But he just wanted to get the rope off the back of him and get out of there, right? I mean, he didn't want to hurt me, but it was just anyway. So when I got out, yeah, for sure. And I was in his way, you know. But it'd be like dropping a 1,600 pounds of weight on your chest, right? It's going to do some damage. So at least I get up and I kind of hobbled to the fence and. They had to get me into the trauma unit, and but it was all good. It was all good, you know, and because when that happened, my record company was furious for one thing.
Right.
But you know, it's the whole media that was that sensation that was created over my injuries. Because I mean, I almost died. Right, it was a serious injury, and they almost had to cut my leg off due to an infection into my leg where it was sliced open, but also just from the fecal matter and all that of the rodeo, but. You know, the thing is we brought the Canadian country music fans and the Canadian Professional Rodeo Association together because of my accident. So it was a great thing. And therefore, you know, I got CMT to sponsor some of my rodeo friends and, bullfighters and bronc riders and bull riders and whatever have you, you know, and just events. Cody Snyder's, bull riding events that he was holding up PBR that he held in Canada. And it was great. So. It was, again, that was a great time.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a great time for me, and I have no regrets whatsoever. I mean, I loved every one of them bulls that I get on. It was all fun.
So have you been able to bull ride since, or was that the end of it?
No, I mean, I'd still get on bulls today, but why?
Yeah.
You know, really, leave it to the pros. Had I grown up, you know, mutton busting and steer riding and then get onto some bulls, and I mean, you know, and I'm too big. I'm not the size for a bull rider. I mean, just you got to grow up around that stuff, man. It takes, you know, these young fellas that are out nowadays, you know, 17, 18 years covering all these bulls. I mean, they're covering some rank stock, and I mean, and there's some of them are small guys, but they've been on, you know, 1,000 or more of them, you know.
Yeah.
So it takes
sure.
a while. So I'll just stick to what I do best and just remember the days and
yep.
hope that we don't have a repeat of that. But yeah, exactly. I'm crazy enough to get back on them again. I mean, yeah, sure. It's all
now,
good.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you're also a big supporter of the Canadian troops, and in fact, you released your album, The Red and White, as a tribute to them with a lot of songs about troops and the whole bit, soldiers, and supporting them. And I know that you go over there and you do concerts for them. Can you tell us how that started for you and what's that like?
Yeah, my father was a World War II combat medic, and I had uncles that served as well, in World War II, and as a lot of us, we've all been touched in one way or another, or have loved ones that have served and, fought. And, it was just from a young age, I was always brought up to be a proud, a patriarch of my, from where I live and the cost of the cost that is taking place to preserve the privilege and right to live in a country as beautiful as Canada, and as well as the States and Britain and the other countries of the free world. So, it's just something that when I do get a chance to go overseas and perform, first of all, for, the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces as part of our CanCon show tours, it's always a rewarding experience for me. It's always a great feeling. I mean, I jump at it at every chance I can, and as well as I do so much here in Canada as well when I'm not overseas, but also when I go overseas, with my fellow Canadians, we have a chance to invite other men and women from other countries that are serving, all in the same common goal. Mm-hmm. Under the UN and NATO flag, and that's for, world peace and freedom for everybody, man. So it's a great thing that, you get a chance to go over for your fellow countrymen and countrywomen, but you also get to do it for other countries, too, that are away from their loved ones sacrificing so much. And it's good because you get to talk to everybody, and it's a very rewarding feeling. It's the least I can do.
It must feel great, as you said, rewarding to be able to do something with your music beyond just entertainment. You're sort of making a difference with it.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, I think anybody that wears a uniform and selflessly puts himself in harm's way to protect, strangers and do it, to preserve, again, the freedoms and the privileges we have to live in countries as wonderful as Canada and the United States and Britain and so many other free countries. It's outstanding, and it's the least I can do is to be there for all of them. And I have, of course, created quite a rapport with the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces, their families, and our veterans. They've nicknamed me G.I. Jules. I have written several songs, in honor of our heroes, both past and present.
Right.
When I wrote The Red and White, it was my first trip coming back from Bosnia and Afghanistan and Southwest Asia. And I guess it's the way I looked at my country at the time, is I didn't see the patriotism that you see when you go down to the United States. There's such a great abundance of patriotism and flag waving, which I think is very important because it came at such a cost to have that right to be able to do that. So, I mean, even in my country now of Canada, my home country, I'm seeing that come around with our involvement in Afghanistan and us losing our soldiers and the cost that's taken place to be in Afghanistan. And it's great to see, that our patriotism is coming back. And I, for one, too, lost my patriotism along the way a little bit. And going overseas, it sure has, re-solidified my patriotism for my country. And, if my country called on me tomorrow to bear arms, to go, fight and protect her, I would, without in a heartbeat.
Wow. I can tell that's a very important thing to you, and a lot of meaning there.
Mm-hmm. It's a great country, man. Every time I come back, Dave, from overseas, I land at CFB Trenton. That's where we fly out of, and that's where we land. And I get down, when I get down at the bottom of that plane off the stairs, I get down and I kiss that dirty old, stinky old, greasy tarmac. And I thank God that I'm back and, where it is that I come from.
That's awesome, Julian. Let's turn now to the CD once again, the new CD called One for One. We heard an original earlier, If Houston Doesn't Want You, that you and Gil Grand wrote. Now we're going to play the Queen classic that you've covered, originally done in 1978, Fat Bottom Girls. Now, can you tell us about this song, sort of why it's so near and dear to you and why you chose it for this project?
Oh, man, I mean, I loved Queen growing up. Since I was a kid, it's just great. And you hear Brian May, guitar guru extraordinaire, God. And it's just, I just loved that song, man. I think that just the whole band, they remind me so much of Rush. They're masters of their own realm, and they're so great that I just, when I first heard that song and seen Freddie Mercury up there, he's just such a performer, right? And
yeah, oh yeah.
That, I was like, wow, I got to learn that song. So, you know, when you're younger, you all want to, you know, you want to learn that song. You're trying to play it. And yeah, so for sure, when, you know, when Danny and I were sitting at, you know, sitting down going over all the songs that, you know, we could possibly do and the ones that I've chosen, the ones he chosen, you know, and Queen was definitely there, man. That was one of that was at the top of my list. And Fat Bottom Girls, you know, I wanted to do it in kind of a, you know, a me way, but yep. also have that little bit of kind of, I wouldn't say quite Southern fried, but, you know, just, you know, enough of a growl in there, a little bit of a edge to it, you know?
Oh, for
so
sure, then.
I hope we did it. I hope we did it justice. I mean, I hope Freddie Mercury's looking down going, you know, Jules, you know, you're okay in my books. you didn't. I hope I didn't do any disservice to the song or to the band because I certainly love them.
There you go. It's a great version of the song. This is Julian Austin with Fat Bottom Girls here on In the Country.
Oh, you gonna take me home tonight? Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you gonna let it all hang out? Fat Bottom Girls, you make the rocking world go around, yeah. I was just a skinny lad, never knew no good from bad, but I knew my life before I left the nursery. Left alone with Big Fat Fanny, she was such a naughty nanny. He big woman, he made a bad boy out of me. I've been singing with my band, across the wire, across the land. Seen every blue-eyed bluesy on the way, yeah, I did. But their beauty and their style went kind of smooth after a while. Take me to them dirty ladies every time, please. Oh, won't you take me home tonight? Oh, down beside your red firelight. Oh, you're gonna give it all. Stiffness in my bones. Ain't no beauty queens in this locality, I tell you. Oh, but I still get my pleasures. Still got my greatest treasure. Keep big a woman, you're gonna make a big man out of me. Now get this. Oh, you gonna take me home tonight.
And there's Julian Austin with his cover of the 1978 Queen classic, Fat Bottom Girls. That is off of his brand new CD, One for One, with five original songs and five popular classics, including that one. I'm Dave Woods. You're tuned into In the Country. Now, Julian, if CMT approached you to do their show CMT Crossroads, which always takes a country star and teams them up with an artist or group from another genre, who would you select if you could?
Ozzy Osbourne.
Right on.
Yeah, I love Ozzy, man. I love Oz.
No question there, eh?
Yeah, he'd be up there at the top. You know, Brian Adams too. I mean, there's so many. Yeah,
have you seen Brian in concert?
I've played tons of his music, you know, in the day, but no, I've never seen him.
Yeah, I saw him about a year ago in concert, and he was amazing.
Hit
after hit, as you know, is just incredible.
He's definitely a machine when it comes to writing and singing and performing, and those two guys, that'd be two of my favorites. I'd love to do it.
That would be cool. Now, what about videos? You've done a lot of videos over the year. You must be pretty comfortable with doing them. How do you feel about when you're called on to do another video for a song?
Well, it's like when I was with BMG back in the day. You know, I mean, we did lots of videos there at that time, and then of course, then you get away from it for a while. And now everything's independent, so you're kind of doing like I'm doing everything out of my own pocket, right? So when I do a video now, it's kind of like it's my own expense. So I mean, it's good to be back in front of the camera doing it because I mean you're your own record company now, and you want to make sure that it's good, and you hope that everybody likes it when they see it because it's great now because you got YouTube, you got Vimeo.com, you got MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, you got your own website. Yeah. You know the media, the internet is such a strong medium and media chance for everybody to show off their music that, it's everybody's on an even keel playing field now, you know what I mean?
Oh, for
so
sure.
It's great. So, yeah, I mean, I'm never really comfortable in front of a camera, I don't think, ever. I mean, I am and I'm not, you know what I mean? I love performing. When it comes to performing, if I can look at the camera, if I can play to the camera, I love it. I'm very comfortable because I like to, that's where I'm at home. If I can, just have the camera, me and the camera, and just perform and do what I do naturally, then it's all good. Yeah.
That's cool. But if you're doing more of the acting thing, that's where it gets a little tougher, is it, when you've got to sort of do the same thing over and over?
Well, the ADHD, right? Attention deficit hyperactive disorder gets in the way. I mean, I have done a movie, and there's talk of us doing other movies. I mean, there's been offers and all that, and I definitely want to do more movies. I mean, I'd love to get into the movie realm of things, field of things. I'd love that. It's that whole trying to remember your lines and just, and try to do a better job than your last take, or nail it once.
Exactly. When you think you've done it right and they want you to do it again.
Yeah, and again and again. So, I mean, I had a great experience doing the movie, and I felt pretty comfortable with it, and I'd like to try that again. But I think we're all actors. We really are, because if we didn't know a camera was on us and they just filmed us to the run of a day, I mean, when we know there's no camera on us, we're all actors. Right?
This is true.
Yeah, but it's when we know there's cameras on us sometimes that we, So,
you start to act a little different and lose that
for
act.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
But I mean, we need videos, Dave. I mean, we need, that's just the way it is, and that's the way it's always going to be now. So, I mean, when you can do any kind of, video to your music that gets you up, or any TV shows and all that, and get them up on YouTube and all that, it just helps your profile, and people from all around the world can visit and see it, so that's good.
I was asking, Aaron Prochette was on the show the other night, and I was asking him about videos making or breaking a song, and he definitely agreed that, you can make or break a song based on the video.
In what sense? If you don't have a video for the song?
Well, I think he was talking in terms of just maybe the quality of the video, or there might be a song that almost needs a video to maybe explain it or hit it home a little more.
Aaron's had some great success. I mean, and for pretty much every video he ever puts out is good, and every song he ever puts out is great. So, I mean, Aaron's very careful in what he releases and, and what he records and how he records it. So, I mean, he's got his own sound and, he definitely, by all means, I he's right. I would agree with that for sure. For sure.
Now, what about, we were talking about downloading songs and that, we were touching on that. What do you think about the album experience growing up when you and I did back in the 70s when there were albums in the 80s? Now, of course, it's downloaded, and kids aren't really getting like a whole album experience. So you're not buying the album and looking at the big cover and sort of having the whole thing together. Now people are sort of picking and choosing songs. Do you think there's something lost there in that experience? Not having the whole uniform of the album?
Not really. Not these days, I don't think so. I mean, I think back when you had the bands like the Allman Brothers, the Doobies, Fleetwood Mac, the Eagles, You know, I mean, these bands here, with every album, I'm not saying that people don't do it today. I mean, I certainly don't want to put any fillers on my album either. I mean, I try to make every song good so that when somebody buys my album, like many of us artists, we want to make sure that, you know, whatever it is, 10, 11, 12, 13 songs, that when somebody buys our album, that we want to make sure that every song to them they like. But that's not always the case, right? And
sure.
There's always the favorite song that they like. And we've all been that way. We've bought albums and 45s. You know, how many times have you and I gone out and bought a 45?
Yeah.
Just for the hit song. But never played the B-side.
Exactly.
You know, until it became a big hit on the radio. So, I think it's great if people still want to buy the tangible product. You know, they want to feel it in their hands at the show. They would like you to sign it. You know, the CD. That's still good. I think, you know, as long as we watch the prices of the CDs, you know, and keep it, you know, fair to everybody. Because now, like, you can go on, you can download a whole album for $10, right?
Exactly.
Or under $10. So, I mean, and I think it's good, too, that recording albums now are expensive. And you have to keep it down to a minimum cost that when you after it's all said and done, you pay for your CD, that you're able to recoup that cost. And, you know, if you're not able to recoup that cost at retail or at your shows, then, you know what, you may as well just go out and record the songs and put them up on your website or on Rhapsody or, you know, iTunes and such, and have people just go and download the songs. And hope that everybody does download the song or download the album. You can still record an album, but you just won't go and press it. Or a song card. You can go and get song cards done, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the way of the future. So I don't think anything's... Yeah, of course there's something lost. You and I and many, many, many others had a chance to experience that. But we also have a chance now to see what's going to take place in the next 5 to 10 years. And I think it's going to be really interesting. And it's really cool that you can go on the Internet. And you can download any song you want, and you can make your own. You can make up your own album of favorite songs. You know,
that's true. Yep.
So it's great in that way, and you know, and songs will still be on. Song cards, I think, are great because you can take 1,000 songs and put them in an overnight bag, or you know, in a shaving bag, and carry them on a plane, go to a gig where you can't take 1,000 CDs.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's getting to the point where it's getting harder and harder to manufacture and keep up with it. You know. So yeah, I think it's all going to be good once we get adjusted to it and everybody gets used to the change and you know what, it's going to be the younger generation that's going to teach us how, is going to show us how.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, and they're doing it right now. So
for sure.
Yeah.
We're learning. We're getting old fashioned pretty quickly.
Hey, I miss the old vinyl, Dave.
Yeah, me too.
I miss sitting down and pulling out that sleeve and looking out at all the cool live shots of the bands and the artists that drew these pictures on like Journey's albums.
Oh, for sure.
All that, you know, Boston. It was all good, man.
Stuff. We're just getting set to wrap up, Julian. It's 45 minutes. Has gone very quickly. Been a pleasure talking with you. People can head over to julianaustin.com to find out what's going on with you. I want to thank Lauren Tutty as well for helping set up this interview, and especially you, Julian. It's been a pleasure talking with you and hearing your music.
Thank you so very much, Dave, and I'd love to do it again with you sometime if you'll have us back.
Would love to. That sounds great. All the best, Julian.
Thank you, Dave.
Take care.
Yeah,
bye,
you too, buddy.
Today has been country artist Julian Austin, a real pleasure talking with him. Be sure to buy his latest CD, One for One, either in stores or online. I'm Dave Woods. In the Country is an Artist Insights exclusive production.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country.